Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Simcast with Team UK. This is Matt Hunter. Alongside me, begrudgingly, is Mr. Jordan Groves. Hello, Jordan.
Hello. Begrudgingly isn't really a new thing. That's every week on when I'm with you. But...
I thought we had something, dude.
No. No.
Lie. I feel lied to.
You should be used to it by now.
It's episode 30, it's episode 32. Welcome to September, everybody. And I can 100% tell you that this is all brand spanking new material from start to finish. No copy pastes on this show. And it's actually episode 33. I can't count, sorry.
That was my fault. I didn't update it.
Okay, there was one bit of copy paste.
Let's move on.
You can copy paste your replies to our show at Simcast Radio using the hashtag SimcastRSL, and you can also talk to us on the Radio Show Listeners Collective on the Book of Face. It's a bit. Sorry, Jordan. At least when I tell jokes, it's what we call a callback, and people could just listen to the previous show and realise what I'm taking the mickey out of.
Anyway, let's
talk about, because we have to jump in, because there is actually weirdly an awful lot of news to get through.
Too much.
We're sort of guilty of this. We've been hyping up the Assetto Corsa showcase for a while. Almost as long as they've been hyping up the Assetto Corsa showcase. And then it was... Well, it wasn't a damp squid... Damp, I think it said damp squid then. That's completely wrong. A damp...
They tend to be, you know, being damp, water creatures. You
a
know.
Damp squib. Anyone, fans of the IT crowd, will know why I'm finding that funny. A damp squib.
Welcome to Matt Learns Pronunciation for 1 hour, live on RS1. No, yeah, I get what you mean. It seems, we'll get into what actually came out of the showcase, but I think what didn't help them was the fact that they hyped up the showcase on the Friday.
Yes.
And then announced the thing on the Thursday, strangely, and then made us think that we were getting something else on the Friday, which we then didn't. It wasn't the greatest advertising.
It's like when you've bought your beloved a, or in your case yourself, a very special. I could have been ruder. I chose not to be. A very special birthday / Christmas / whatever present, and you're really, really excited about it. So the day before you're going to give it to them, you kind of basically tell them what it is. They think that that's a ploy and it's actually something else. And then they're really disappointed because it turns out to be what you'd basically already told them because you were too excited.
Yeah. So
I speak from experience.
Yeah, no, that sounded like a bit too much of a in-depth description. So, yeah, I know you've been in the doghouse recently. So basically what Assetto Corsa ultimately ended up announcing was the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S upgrade for Assetto Corsa Competizione. This will be... at the right amount of frames, 60 FPS, mm-hmm. And we'll have a whole range of other graphical updates, etc., and performance updates, and we'll be coming out on February 24th, 2022. Now, that in itself isn't a bad thing. That's great. We kind of could have guessed that was going to happen because a lot of games have been offering this free upgrade. But yeah, that's cool. I think it was just a little underwhelming that they said they were going to announce it Friday. They announced it Thursday at Gamescom all of a sudden, and then seemed to suggest on social media that they were going to be adding more stuff, which in fairness they did, but it was about the mobile game, which we already knew about. And that was kind of it, really. We heard a little bit of teasing for future content. The BMW M4 GT3 apparently is coming to the game in the first quarter of 2022, and it will be a free update, so that's good. And according to one of the comments from the event, there will be 6 to 7 new cars and new tracks coming in the first quarter of 2022. Now, I didn't quite catch that bit of the showcase, but a lot of people are
basically
saying.
It was teased so lightly and so teasingly that we both missed it. Not for the want of paying attention, I might add.
Yeah. So if that turns out to be true, then that's good, because we were saying in these shows previously that the game could do with some more content. So
to speculate, we've pretty much decided that that's going to be. I've got a moth has decided to attack me in the studio. This is
yeah, a moth is attacking you as well, because I was attacked by a moth about 5 minutes ago and I didn't enjoy it.
Get out, Phil. Go away.
You've named the moth?
Phil Mothman. Go away. I think we kind of decided. I'm under attack and I'm continuing regardless. That the 6 to 7 cars could well consist of at least the GT2 cars, which have obviously become quite a prevalent thing on the real race weekend now, of which I think that's 4 cars, plus potentially the Brabham that was announced last month in real life.
Brabham would be cool. I think the one that most people I know are really hoping it will be is the Mustang. But I don't know whether that's really feasible anymore, because it's quite...
It doesn't really run in anything
anymore. We're quite far down the road, yeah, and it doesn't run in anything anymore, which is sad, because I do like the Mustang. But for new tracks, we've already covered that quite extensively as to what it could be in terms of, you know, maybe America's or Asia series. But another thing worth pointing out is that Kunos did say in one of their interviews that they're currently renegotiating their license with the SRO, and that might lead to more content, whether it be... to ACC or potentially a sequel to ACC in the future, or maybe even SRO content in the next Assetto Corsa 2 game. So I think the showcase was fine. It's just maybe they could have spent some more time talking about current things and maybe hyping up a little bit more that ACC has still got some stuff on the way, because that's what people are really clamoring for at the moment. So
I remember saying to Steph the night before when we saw the initial release about the next gen side thing, I said, I really hope tomorrow's thing is not going to be just about this again, because if they do, that's totally a turn 10 move. Where they go, we've got something amazing for you, absolutely amazing. We're giving you 13 new cars. Like, hang on a minute, that's 3 Indy cars. Yeah, but they're in like 10 different liveries. That's still just 3
good
cars.
No, but... I have a feeling that the problem was is that I don't think that they knew they were going to do the Gamescom announcement on the Thursday. So I think that they probably scheduled the Friday thing, and then a slot opened up to promote it on Gamescom, and they took it, and then that just led to this awkward sort of retelling of what we already knew on Friday.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a shame, but nevertheless, I think for people who are on consoles. We covered when ACC first came to consoles that it was a bit underwhelming and it was a bit strange to have a game running at 30 FPS. I honestly still think it's quite unacceptable for a game to release on the old generation consoles at 30 FPS, but at least now we're getting a better performing game on the new consoles. So it's still a plus. It's just, you know, it could have been more.
Yeah.
We're never satisfied, are we?
As PC gamers, no.
No. He says, we want our cake and to eat it.
He says, knowing that his runs like stupidly high FPS and
200
as the yours, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well.
At least if I'm If I'm on Minecraft with my modded saves, then it doesn't run very well. It comes to something when my most graphically intensive game is Minecraft.
Running RTX?
No.
Oh, man.
The mods are mental, mate.
Oh, there's no hope.
From that disappointment,
let's. Oh, he's doing the segues. He's learnt.
Yeah.
From that abject disappointment to the next abject disappointment. That was. Yeah. In fairness, this game would have to work incredibly hard to reach the level of disappointment for me. But that's just because I'm a picky sod.
Yep.
But this is pretty bad.
Yeah, so this is F1 2021.
This was a terrible segue.
Yeah, no, it started off well, but then it kind of just
fell off.
So there's a bit of controversy in the world of F1 2021. So, when has that happened?
What was that word?
Controversy.
Controversy.
Tomato, tomato. basically, it's late. Basically, what has happened in the world of F1 2021 is, it's quite a niche thing, I suppose. It only really impacts you if you're a league racer. So for all of you people who aren't racing leagues on F1, you might not really care about this. But essentially, what's happening is F1 is currently gearing up toward F1 Esports, which I believe kicks off in October. Yes, that sounds right. And as part of that preparation, the F1 esports drivers, which run on a different build to the game on PC, they have been granted access to a new handling model, which supposedly changes the driving and tire physics of the game, basically, in an effort to improve it upon where it is currently. Now, the problem with that is that... obviously, we, the general consumers of the game, the public, haven't got access to this yet, and we don't believe we're getting access to this new handling model until at least October, maybe longer. What that has led to is a lot of leagues that aren't official Codemasters leagues that usually have the F1 esports drivers enter them as a way of practice. All of those F1 esports drivers are now no longer racing because it doesn't make sense for them to keep going from one build to another because they're not learning anything. And what that therefore means is that these leagues are now losing competitors and viewers because people aren't as interested if the top guys aren't in it.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically the F1 2021 league scene is not very happy with Codemasters. Codemasters have issued they issued a statement to their league racers, just explaining, you know, what we already knew, that this handling model will be made available at some point, but they didn't apologize for anything, which is a little bit of a shame. I think to try and steer it back towards so that people who aren't league racers care about this, I think it's a little annoying that when did F1 launch? June?
Something like that. June, July.
June or July?
Yeah.
And now we're several months into the game's life cycle and they're releasing a new handling model. Now, why wasn't this in the game at launch?
Mm.
They had
released very soon afterwards.
Yeah. They had quite a significant beta period where people were giving feedback on physics. Why was this not launched? You've either got to launch it concurrently so that everybody has it at the same time, and therefore there isn't this advantage to some players just because they're F1 esports drivers, or don't have it, don't introduce it for this game, and you've got a yearly release. You might, I know it's me complaining about yearly releases again, but if you're going to have it, then just hold it off for a year and then bring it in for the next game, rather than have halfway through a game's life cycle completely changing the handling model. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, it's either they were late to the party, which is kind of inexcusable because handling is a pretty major thing in a racing game.
Yeah.
Or they, I don't know. It just seems odd that they would do this late. And meanwhile, we still haven't got the tracks. You know, we still haven't got Imola, Portimao, and Jeddah. they're still in the works. And I honestly thought we'd have had at least one of them by now, considering it's been almost 3 months.
Mm.
It's not a good look. And for in terms of the league racing response, it's not great that Codemasters put out a statement and then subsequently didn't apologise or express any regret. It's just a bit messy, really, to be honest.
We're talking about a game that is... Well, I mean, you know my thoughts on it. It hasn't been well received from me, and I've been an avid supporter of the Formula One games for a number of years.
Mm.
Back to 1995, whatever year the first one came out.
Pre-me, basically.
Pre-you, yes. Shut up. And it... You know, when you think they're still charging the thick end of £50 for this, and as we've touched on before, all the classic content was taken out, the calendar's gutted to all intents and purposes.
Which isn't their fault, but it's still. Take out all the classic content?
Yeah, it's not their... you're right, it's not their fault, but what they have put in is a lot of... Like the driver rating thing, which is so Madden, it's not even funny.
And it makes no sense.
No, it's completely irrelevant.
None of them make any sense. At least with the Madden ratings, you might argue that they make sense.
Well, they're sort of linked into the NFL anyway, so it does make sense because it's...
Whereas a lot of these driver ratings seem to have been made up seemingly on a slow Tuesday. I don't know.
I think it kind of... God knows if they asked to help them for it, but it wasn't... Clearly wasn't people who knew anything about Formula One.
No.
You know, and it bothers me because we think next year's a really big year for Formula One. They need a very good, strong title to support it. I think when you put all your eggs in one basket like this, okay, in one basket and a mobile game, and Rocket League for some reason, it can create problems like this because it can damage your brand.
Yeah,
for the sort of fan you're trying to engage with, you know, and yeah, it's incredibly messy, and there's no signs of it getting any better anytime soon. And sadly, it concerns me the sort of titles they're about to take ownership of and how they're going to be handled moving forward.
Yeah, I suppose. My only solace would be is that the other games that Codemasters have worked on, other racing games for that matter, like Dirt Games, Dirt Rally 2.0, I'm struggling to recall any amount of complacency to this level with them games.
Hmm.
So I don't know whether it's something intrinsic within the F1 developers at Codemasters, because they aren't the same people that do Dirt.
No.
So I would hope maybe that this is just maybe contained. Like in the back of my mind, I was thinking earlier, you know, oh, maybe they're being a little odd this year, and maybe that will mean that next year they'll concentrate more on. But it's kind of been the same for the last couple of years, where there's been the same problems that haven't been fixed, and developers not communicating well with the player base, etc. But even though, as I've just said, the developers aren't the same from every game to every game at Codemasters, you can forgive people on the outside looking in thinking that. Like, when you consider, that Codemasters are about to get WRC. Mm. You'd like to think that, you know, maybe they'll come under the same developers as Dirt, like the exact same group of developers as Dirt, and maybe it will be fine. But it does kind of put this unhealthy view of what the developers could be. So it's a shame, because I think Codemasters, when a lot of the F1 games they have put out have been genuinely really good. And I think it's just over the last couple of years, it comes back to the yearly release thing for me, where you've got a yearly release, you've got the potential there to fix things relatively quickly. You know, you have a problem in one game, you fix it for the next. However, when you have a yearly release that comes out every year and the same problems are there, what's the point in having a yearly release? Because it's essentially the same game. Warts and all.
Yeah, like you said, biannual almost makes more sense. Or you do a Call of Duty and you have two developers doing it and they alternate.
Yeah, that would be fine. I'm crying out for What I would love is if with F1 2022, they scrap the annual thing and just make it biannual and then release a patch for the next year's teams and drivers, etc., and tracks.
Well, clearly they can do a patch for the handling and physics and stuff. So basically,
yeah, they're doing it like within half a year. So I wouldn't have this problem with them making major handling changes and alterations if it wasn't a yearly title. You know, because like, what's the point in doing it 3 months in? We're like a third or a quarter or something of the way through the game's lifespan. You know, and they're already, I'm sure, if they're, you know, sensible, they're already looking and working on the next F1 game. You know, you kind of got to move quite quickly when you've got an annual release. It just doesn't make much sense to me. Whereas if you had a game with a longer life, you can fine-tune these things. And then people will be more excited for the next one because they can actually see some progression happening.
Indeed.
Drink every time I talk about annual releases.
I think we need to set up a Patreon and we need to get some t-shirts done.
What about annual releasing?
You're gonna say something along the lines of it's annual releases again, or one of the other things that you keep saying that I've forgotten because that bloody moth's come back. Phil, go away.
That's what yours will be.
Oh God, he's gone in my tea. Oh, that's terrible.
In your tea?
Oh, my tea. Great. And by tea, I mean extra drink.
Yeah, no, that's what I meant.
Dear Lord.
We're the British show. We're both sipping tea whilst we...
Mine will be something about segways.
You riding a segway whilst beating a moth. That's pretty much it.
Picture of Ben trying to pronounce something.
Good Lord.
Right. Should we talk wheels?
Let's talk wheels.
Well, wheel. And again, this is some more youth.
Wheelie good news.
Wheelie good news.
I hate myself. Yes, the...
Actually, it's really wheelie good news for you and then potentially wheelie good news for me later.
Really good news for me?
Well, because this is Thrustmaster... Oh, God's sake, I'm just going to give it in a... Thrustmaster news for you
I don't really care about this because I'm not getting this wheel, but
no, I know you don't, but it's your bag, so
my corner of the wheel market. Yes, the new Thrustmaster hybrid wheel has been officially revealed. You may remember when Ben and when Ben was going through the roadmap for Thrustmaster in last week's show. One of the teased releases was a hybrid drive wheel. And many people were saying, what on earth is a hybrid drive wheel? Well, now we have an answer. Thrustmaster have revealed the T248 wheel. Catchy name. This is basically an upgraded replacement for the older TMX and T150 wheels. So it's more at the entry-level spectrum of Thrustmaster's catalogue, basically. Now, the key highlight with this is the hybrid drive, which basically is belt and gear driven, and it uses an optical sensor to determine where the wheel position currently is. So it's promising to be more accurate and also promises up to 70% more power than the T150. But at the moment, we don't know whether that actually is referring to the force feedback or not, but we'll see. What's more, this is going to be a bundle. So this will be the T248 wheel with the T3PM pedals. And this these T3PM pedals are new as well. So that's good as well. They're basically a blend of the T3PA and the TLCM pedals. So many acronyms. So this is going to be their sort of entry-level bundle. So the T248 bundle with the wheel and the pedals will retail for £300, which isn't bad for a wheel and pedal combo when you actually come to think of it. I'm struggling to think of how much the G920 costs now, but I believe it's in that wheelhouse. So it's wheelhouse. Oh, I'm so funny.
Well, at least somebody thinks so.
I very nearly swore at you then. Yeah. So that's good.
The Logitech G29 is £219.
Okay, so there is a little bit of a whack to it, but the G920 is like 10 years old now, so naturally it's going to be a little bit cheaper. I think when the G920 first released, it was probably around what the T248 is.
Well, the G923 is 279.
Oh, there you go. And that was released last year, so that's about 20 quid or so between them. So the wheel is available for pre-order now in Europe and North America, and the availability is expected in mid-October. So if you're in the market for a new wheel, there is an option for you. I'll wait for the direct drive.
I thought you might somehow.
I was so happy with last week's news that... Well, I mean, we kind of knew that Thrustmaster were doing a direct drive wheel for a while now, so I'm so glad that they are doing one. Yeah. And the final bit of me will be glad when they officially confirm that all the previous wheels will work with it. I'm sure they will, but, you know, sim racing, I will still not count my chickens until they've hatched.
Well, I'm not moving away from my CSW 2.5, which is belt-driven, to the DD yet, because the power on them is the same as we discussed a couple of weeks ago. Although the CSL DD is now in the hands of people, general public, now, and general feedback seems to be pretty positive, so that's good.
I mean, whilst the power will be the same, there will be like infinitesimal little details that you might be able to feel slightly better because of the more direct connection. But it, when you've got to weigh up, as you've done by the sounds of it, is that little difference worth that amount of money yet? No. And in your case, probably not.
No.
In my case, the DD, we'll wait and see when we find out how strong it is and, more importantly, how much it costs.
Exactly.
But I have a feeling that will probably be more worth it for me. And anyway, my dad's badgering me too because he wants my current.
Well, the next upgrade for me, I think we also mentioned, the next upgrade for me will be the Bentley wheel.
Yes.
Unless, although, so the other bit of news... at the Sim Racing Expo at the Nürburgring later in September, Fanatec have teased that obviously they've got a big presence there anyway, but they have teased that there is going to be some news that we all quite like the sound of. Hopefully this isn't like ACC news and it actually is something that we're interested in. But being Fanatec, they've done pretty well so far on the
Hyping to expectation.
Yes. Hype to expectation ratio is pretty
spot on. We need a pie chart.
We do.
or a Venn diagram, I don't know.
We're expecting pricing for the M4 GT3, the Bentley Pikes Peak / GT3 wheels to come out soon. Some people sort of reckon a CSL DD that's compatible with PlayStation, because apparently the current one isn't. It's only compatible with PC and Xbox, which is interesting. But honestly, I'm actually expecting a Formula wheel to rival the SF1000. I think that's...
I think they need to do something like that, because my general criticism, and this is why I didn't go down the route of Fanatec, was for the level of prestige they command within sim racing in terms of the hardware, a lot of their wheels still look very toyish.
I think they
like,
can.
Take the F1 wheel. Like, the Bentley wheel looks phenomenal, and their replicas look phenomenal.
Yeah.
But the F1 licensed wheels over the last few years just haven't looked right to me. They look fine, but I'm more about the immersion, which is why I love the SF1000 wheel, because it is literally a replica.
Yeah.
I feel like Fanatec, whatever, it's been so many years and I keep fluctuating between the two pronunciations. I think they need to go down the route more of the LCD screens, which we've seen they're starting to do with the Bentley wheel, and I think maybe they need to just look toward more of replicating what the actual F1 wheels are. Like, when you consider that Fanatec have a partnership with Formula One and the wheels don't look like Formula One wheels, really, it's a bit strange.
I didn't realize. Oh yeah, I suppose they do, don't they? I'm just trying to think, they don't actually have a partnership with a team, though, that I know
not
of.
Yet, no, whereas Thrustmaster obviously do with Ferrari, so maybe that's what, but then I guess,
and it won't be McLaren, because they've got a partnership with Logitech.
Yeah, true. Yeah, what we need is a Logitech Formula One replica wheel. That'd be cool. I think maybe what Fanatec need to do in that regard then is if they've got a general partnership with Formula One, make an unlicensed wheel that just looks very... All the Formula One wheels look largely the same, let's be honest. It's only the Williams that doesn't look anything like the others because the LCD is attached to the car and not the wheel.
Yeah.
So... you know, maybe they just need to come up with a generic one that just looks more accurate to Formula One.
Don't disagree. Speaking of Formula One, Formula One circuit, as we know, the Hungaroring is coming to iRacing in the season 4 build, which comes out in a matter of days now, I suppose.
Next week. So it will be week 13 next week on iRacing. That's usually when they launch the new content. So next Tuesday.
And we've seen another quick teaser. What is it with teasers this week, honestly? I was going to do a dirty joke then, but I won't. wrong platform for that, Matthew.
Nope. Not fast enough.
That's for the YouTube channel. And still going to happen.
Past terms of service.
Still going to happen. I've heard some of the things that people say on that. It'll be fine. And yes, we saw another teaser video of a couple of corners of the Hungaroring, which looks really good. It's my least favourite Formula One circuit ever, but actually, in cars that aren't Formula One, it's probably quite good.
I'm sure we've spoken about this before, but I used to hate Hungary.
Yeah.
And then I did a couple of... I can't remember. I think it was on maybe 2016, 2015. I did a league race there and it just kind of clicked and I've loved it ever since.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've driven... I think I might have done one or two laps on ACC in a GT car, but I've not really driven any other kind of car around there. So I'll be sure to take the Indy car around there basically as soon as it comes out. Or maybe I have a feeling... I don't know whether you're going to get hungry, but if you were, I have a feeling I know what car you would want to take around there because iRacing have also announced a new Porsche. Another new Porsche.
Which I will be getting.
Yes, I'll tell you the name. Matt can tell you more about it because I don't know the difference anymore. This is the new Porsche 911 GT3 Cup car, which will be coming to the season 3 build.
It's either the, in inverted cut in brackets, either 912 or 922 shape, which is the brand spanking new shape 911.
Is it?
It is.
It is. Are you sure about that?
I am. You can tell because it's got a red LED that goes across the full width of the car.
Oh, a red LED.
Red strip light that goes across the full width of the back of the car.
Do you know what?
It's very, very pretty.
Codemasters finally have a rival for their annual releases. Porsche.
Sadly, you're not wrong. I've been on the Porsche configurator because every so often I kind of go, I wonder what is the most ridiculous Porsche I could price up on it. And you just go on the initial thing, I'm thinking, well, there's 80 different types of bloody Porsche to start with. I just want the GT3 RS. Can I just pick?
I just want a car.
I just want the GT3 RS. Can I just pick that? Oh, I've got to build it to make it that. Oh, great. Well, this is excellent. It is like EA DLC. Oh, you want this particular version, but you're going to have to buy this, 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 and this. The PDK kit and all this, that. Oh, God's sake. Anyway, this is the new Cup car, which is forming the Porsche Super Cup, which is on the F1 bill. They're using it in that. And then I think, and I know friends at Porsche UK that will shout at me if I get this wrong, but I probably will anyway, so sorry.
I certainly won't.
This car will then be on the national Carrera Cup scenes next year. Because from memory, I think, generally speaking, any new iteration of the Cup car starts in Super Cup and then filters down to all the others. So, because obviously it'd be quite... It's not yearly, because if it was yearly, it'd be bleeding expensive, and that's obviously not possible.
It feels like yearly. I'm being biased because I'm quite uninitiated when it comes to GT cars, especially Porsches, because in my mind they do look too similar. But
I won't lie. The thing that differentiates for me, and this is just because this is from just years of being around cars like this. The sound is definitely different.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's genuinely an old really, I didn't know.
there's a general Porsche tone, which I'm not going to do an impression of it because that would just be terrible.
Oh, please.
I know what they sound like. Listeners on this who know anything about sim racing know what they sound like. You don't need me to know. But even though the general overall sound of a Porsche is a very distinctive noise, it's usually by the way the exhausts are laid out, and also things like turbos and stuff like that that will change the note or make the engine note louder, quieter, whatever. The RSR, for instance, again, it's probably changed. I know, in fact, it has changed since I heard it live in 17, was incredibly loud and almost a ripping, ear-splitting noise. The cup car tends to be a lot smoother, tends to be a lot closer to what the road car sounds like, and then the GT3 kind of sits somewhere in between. And iRacing is very, very, very good at getting the sound right on these, so I will be picking up the cup car just because it's an awesome car to throw around, and I will be picking, I love the last one, and I will be picking up the new GT3 as well, because that's also an awesome car. Yeah, and I want the JTR livery for it, so.
No, it is good though. It's good to see this relationship between iRacing and Porsche continuing. Not that we are surprised about that.
I think I knew so much about Porsches, considering I'm generally an Aston Martin fan.
Yeah, well, you
I'm still waiting for an update of Aston Martin iRacing. Come on.
Yeah. You didn't have to go too far to beat me in terms of Porsche knowledge anyway. I fell asleep halfway through what you were saying. Oh, but no, it was genuinely interesting anyway.
What else is coming, do we know, for season 4?
Yeah, we have a little bit. So we mentioned Hungary. With the amount they're teasing it, that's certainly coming with season 4. iRacing themselves have confirmed a number of changes to pre-existing cars, one of which I'm very excited about. The IndyCar, yay, GT3, Class D cars, so that's like the Pontiac Solstice, the Kia, which model is it? Is it the Optima?
Optima, yeah.
The Mustang, the old one, as well as the Lotus 49 and Lotus 79s are all receiving numerous tyre updates. The ones I remember currently, the IndyCar is going to be made so you can be a lot more aggressive with it. That's based off of feedback from the drivers when they did the IndyCar Pro Series, which I'm delighted about because IndyCar is my favourite car on the service. GT3, I remember them saying in the videos, you can go on to iRacing's YouTube to have a recap of all of the changes they're making to these cars. But the highlight for me in the GT3 tyre model change is that they will have a bit more high speed stability, and you'll be able to more confidently place the car in high speed corners, such as Eau Rouge Radiant were the examples that they gave. So that'll be good.
And that's something that real drivers have been complaining about, but pointing out for quite a while, haven't they?
And I think this is good. I think a lot of these changes are coming directly as a result of the amount of racing drivers that were on the service in the last year during the pandemic. Yeah. So there is some good to come out of the pandemic. It doesn't outweigh the bad, but anyway. The Lotus 79, I don't quite remember what they said for the 49, but I'm assuming it'll be similar. The 79, they've improved the top speeds and reduced the cornering speeds to more accurately replicate what how the tires would be in reality. So they've said at more technical tracks, your lap times will be slower than they were before, but power tracks, you'll likely be the same or quicker. The other changes they've announced are for the NASCAR Xfinity in trucks. This is with regards to the shocks. So they are implementing the next-gen NASCAR shocks to the Xfinity in trucks ahead of the 2022 season in reality. So yeah, further aligning the cars with reality, which is what you would expect from a sim. So that's all really good news. I'm so excited about the IndyCar stuff. Next time I'm on the show, I'll probably be waxing lyrical about that, so just be warned. And the final thing that we've confirmed for now, although probably by now iRacing confirmed a bunch of other stuff that will be coming for Season 3, so do go and check them on Twitter. But they've also confirmed a number of updates coming to the AI racing. V8s are now going to be available for AI racing, which is good, along with Bathurst, Oran Park and Phillip Island. Yeah, it seems to be a bit of an Aussie flavour, considering they just announced Winton and Sandown will be coming to the service at some point in the next few months. That's all good news. Additionally, for the oval side, Bristol is now going to be available for AI racing, as will the new Super Late model. So that is also good news. If you're like me and you're not very good at Bristol, it'll be nice to go and wreck some AI instead of real people and not get shouted at. So that's good news. But yeah, as I said, iRacing, in the lead up to their new builds, they are constantly announcing new things on their socials. So yeah, go and check them out to see if they've announced anything else, or alternatively, tune into the show next week where Ben and Lewis will be going through everything that comes, basically.
There we go. All exciting times at iRacing. It's exciting generally. There's almost too much choice now, which is never a bad thing. But
yeah, especially for you with the next thing. I know how excited you are about.
Yeah, I'm just going to very quickly
off-roady stuff.
Throw in, because we do sort of sit here on Twitter when you're talking, not really paying attention, but you know.
Thanks.
Very best of luck to friend of the show, Angus Fender, who is competing in the 24H series at, I'm guessing, Barcelona.
Oh, cool.
This weekend. He's teased a tweet, because, you know,
it's tease week.
It's tease week.
That sounds horrible.
It really does, actually. That sounds a bit seedy. been over a year.
Welcome to tease week on Simcast.
God. What was that sim that we found that we didn't like? It's that old bum simulator. And it's not what you think. Get your minds out of the gutter, people. Out of the gutter.
Good lord.
Angus Fender and Bum Simulator in the same sentence. I do apologise, Angus. Been over a year since my last endurance race. Hopefully my 100% podium record can continue. In fact, frankly, I'd be a bit surprised and concerned if I didn't. That says to me he's in the top class. Yeah. So anyway, good luck to Angus Fender as well. I was going to say happy birthday to someone and I can't remember who it was.
Well, me on the next show.
Yes, there was that. I do sort of pay. Yes, that. Yes. Oh, thanks. And how gutting is it that Kimi Raikkonen's retired? Retiring.
No comment.
Gutted.
I'm not a fan, but.
See, I remember when he did Formula Renault. So that's because I'm old.
Did you know, I saw a brilliant statistic that so long as he does all of the final races and they all go as planned, that he will have done a third of all Formula One races ever held.
What?
He will have done 33.3 something of all Formula One races that have ever been held.
Well, it did blow my mind that he's been in Formula One for 20 years. So
mental, isn't it? And that's with 2 years out.
Yeah.
That's him.
What a lad. Yes, WRC 10 out tomorrow.
I wonder if Kimi will be going back to do WRC. There's your segue.
No, apparently he's was it IndyCar?
That was a joke tweet.
Was it a joke tweet? Was it?
Yeah, I fell for it as well.
Oh.
Yeah. I still don't really get it, but apparently it's a joke.
Okay, whatevs.
As much as I would have loved to have seen that.
Well, but he's not doing WEC because he's driven the Peugeot 908 and he hated it and complained the whole entire time, so it's not really that.
That sounds like him.
Yeah. WRC 10, despite the fact the game is literally out today, if you're listening live, tomorrow as we're talking about it, and in the past if you're listening on catch-up, because...
Is it Schrodinger's WRC?
No, it's definitely there. I'm looking at it. The roadmap has come out, so and the amount of stuff they're bringing is pretty cool. So October, updated co-driver mode, teams online, and new livery editor stickers.
Ooh. A new rally. They're bringing the Belgian rally that occurred this year. That means we'll be able to drive around Spa.
Well, will it, though? Are the stages... This is a genuine question because I haven't played too much of the WRC game. Are the stages accurate to real life?
To my knowledge, yes.
So if they... You'll have to tell me when the EAP rally comes. If Spa is in it, I will buy the game.
Remember, it'll only be bits of Spa because I think they only used it for two stages. One's from like Le Con, the top end, and then one was around Eau Rouge.
They went down the hill, like down start finish straight, turn one down to Eau Rouge, and then as soon as they got to the top, hairpin turn through the gate onto the World Rallycross track.
Yes.
So, but still, so cool. So if that does happen, I will buy the game. You can hold me to that.
I will be in next month. I will be sure to tell you.
Cool.
Three new anniversary events for the 50th anniversary, and three new rally cars. I'm guessing hopefully it will be more classic ones because they've got literally every single contemporary one in the game. November, this is why I love this. I love this game. November 2021. Of course, it's 2021. Features updated clubs mode, new livery editor stickers. They're also bringing the Acropolis Rally 2021 Acropolis Rally into it. The Rally of Gods. That's what it says on the sticker.
It's still doing it.
It says that Rally of Gods. Yeah, Conor McRae did it and won it. I'm going to say. Five new anniversary events and another rally car. And then we get into then nothing in December because who wants to work in December? And then January in the new year, new online multiplayer championship mode. I'm going to guess is going to coincide with the... WRC Esports Championship, which of course will be around that time because of the Monte Carlo Rally.
Are we not getting any new livery editor stickers in January?
No.
Aww.
I don't know how powerful the livery editor is going to be, but it ain't going to be Forza powerful. Yeah. I think you can only have like 50 layers a side or something stupid. It's fine.
It serves its purpose. Like I never heard everyone who's played WRC, I never heard them complain about it. So
we will be able to do something cool with that, and we will no doubt post pictures of it when we've done that cool thing.
Well, you will.
Yes.
I will if they add Spa. Have they, another genuine question, have they got the new Puma in this game, or is that not yet because it was only just really revealed?
It's only just really revealed, and it's not technically part of WRC until next year.
Gotcha. So they might add it as DLC for the next year, or if not, it'll be in the next game. Because the current developers still have one more year, if I believe.
Pass. I'd have to check.
I think they have one more year, and then Codemasters gets it from 2023. I think I remember hearing that. So at the very least, it'll be then. I like the Puma.
I like the Puma as well.
Hate the road going version. Love the rally car.
Every time I see a road going version, I just look at it and go, "Oh,
it's not a Puma."
No,
that's still my main issue with the car is that they named it wrong. It's like the Mustang Mach-E. Love the car.
I shouldn't call the Mustang. Love the car.
Yeah,
our good friend Rob Ladbrook knows exactly what a Puma is. He had a racing Puma called Penny that he raced for a few years, and I think he wants to get it back.
My mum and dad owned a Puma for a couple of years, and their biggest regret now is having sold it. They love it. Basically, everyone I know who has ever driven a Puma has loved it. So it's one of those classic cult cars now. It's got a proper good following.
Oh, that's interesting. The Monza Rally. So somebody tweeted it. Monza Rally Show 2020. What an epic race. Snow wet circuit. Is there snow there? And WRC replied, Rally Monza isn't planned for WRC 10 as it was a late addition to the 2020 calendar. Which makes sense, because it's not in 2021.
Yeah.
So why would it be in the 2021 game?
They did start the year at Monza.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing that was at the beginning of this year, because I recently I discovered that you could watch WRC highlights and World Rallycross races on Red Bull TV, so I've been catching up. And well, this year did start on Monza.
Well, I don't care about
But no, that's a fair enough excuse, I guess. When it's rally stages, they're a lot harder to create. I know we gave Codemasters a lot of stick for not having the new tracks for the F1 games, but when you consider that some of them were tracks that they had already made anyway.
Yes, that is an circuit. This is not.
Whereas rally is a lot different, and you can kind of that. Although I would love to see them add Monza at some point. Right, hopefully for the next one.
In the last 10 minutes, we need to very quickly talk about, I know, NASCAR 21 Ignition gameplay. With a lap around at Daytona, thoughts? Looks visually quite all right.
It does look quite all right, actually. Graphically speaking, because we can only really go off of that for the moment, it does look very good. From the brief view that we've seen, it was only at Daytona, so not much to go off of. Although I will also mention that a number of people have actually managed to play a very limited build of the game at the NASCAR race at Daytona last weekend.
All right.
And the overall view coming out of that is cautiously optimistic. Everyone has basically said presentation-wise it looks great. Quite a lot of them have likened it to the old NASCAR Thunder games, so that's good.
Graphically, it's better than that. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, 100%. A lot of people said graphically it does look very, very good. Sounds, they've said, are a little bit iffy, but, you know, the sounds aren't. They aren't critical for a NASCAR game, let's be honest. But
Top rev range, it's kind of at
it's
noise.
Kind of monotonous. But yeah, cautious optimism is what the flavour is so far. We've seen only a little bit, but what we've seen looks good. So
there we go.
Still a little bit to go before launch in October, and I'm still excited. So
there we go. Tiny bit of race room news, something we haven't heard for a while. Race room news. That came out today, Thursday, if you're listening, Wednesday when we're talking, about the new season of Esports WTCR is on its way. So that's one teasy little thing. Continuing with the teasy little things. But they did also tease, in a second tease, a double tease in one tweet. We are spoiled. It will feature the latest generation of FIA WTCR cars, including the new Hyundai Elantra N TCR, which is the saloon, if I remember correctly. Aren't any other any new WTCR cars apart from livery.
Mainly liveries, but Race Room have for the last couple of years.
There is a new out. The Audi is new.
Yes, that's new, isn't it? Yeah, so but for the last couple of years, whenever Race Room had done TCR updates, they have included livery updates in that. So
yes,
yeah,
they'll do the same. And actually, the Audi is very, very attractive. It's a very good looking car. I like it a lot. It's very nice. So there's that. We also need to quickly mention. Is the Corvette C3 and C3R coming to AMS2 in the latest update? Which is good. If you just go to Steam and download it, straightforward. It's a lovely car, very pretty, very nice. And then just the usual sort of damage of physics and AI and audio and track updates.
I was going to say, recently I've actually gotten back into AMS2 for probably the fifth time, and I will say the recent improvements they've made to the game in terms of physics have been very good. So if you're somebody who played AMS2 when it first came out and then stopped for a while, I'd consider going back, because it has improved.
It's very good. Now, we need to talk, there is a bit of esports news. Do you want to quickly rattle through the supercars and eNASCAR? Because there's more than just eNASCAR.
Yes. Yes, we'll do Supercars first, because that's literally a brief mention. Round two of the 2021 Supercars E-Series took place at Long Beach and Pocono. I like this new format where they're having more ovals, because that was one of the surprises of last year's Supercars series, was how well they raced on the ovals. The Pro Series race, in case you weren't with us last week, that's not including like the current all-stars like Richie Stanaway and all of the other drivers. So the Pro Series race at Long Beach would be won by Dane Warren for Walkinshaw Andretti United, his second win in as many races. And in the All-Star race at Pocono, the top three, being an oval, would be covered by 0.04 of a second at the finish line, with Richie Stanaway taking the victory ahead of Kostecki and Waters. Again, this would be Stanaway's second win in as many races. So then you don't really need to be a maths genius to work out who's leading both of the championships so far. The 2021 Supercars Heat Series will continue with round three next Wednesday morning for us at Daytona, good God, and Road America. So I'm sure that will be entertaining, maybe chaotic, who knows. And then speaking of ovals, the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series playoffs began on Tuesday night at Darlington Raceway. 23-11 Racing would lock out the front row with Mitchell DeJong taking yet another pole position ahead of Keegan Leahy. The pair would pull away from the rest of the pack initially, with Leahy taking the lead briefly on the pit stop cycle. However, DeJong looked to have the pace over him and would begin to pull away. DeJong looked to have the win in his hands in the dying laps as he chased down Bobby Zielinski, who was running an alternate tyre strategy, which basically left him as a sitting duck with older tyres. However, with a couple of laps to go, being NASCAR, there would be a caution, which would basically, at that point, everybody needed tyres, being Darlington Raceway. So they all pitted, which put them back on a level playing field between Zielinski and DeJong. And ultimately, Zielinski would prevail. He would managed to get away on the second green white checkered attempt to hold the lead onto the final lap. DeJong, credit to him, he got alongside him in the final few corners and had every opportunity to do the NASCAR thing and wreck him, but he didn't. He chose to race cleanly and fairly, and that was commendable, albeit it would mean he wouldn't get the win. Zielinski would cross the line to take the win, and therefore, being the playoffs, he would take the first of four spots in the championship deciding race at Texas, which will take place in October. So there are two more races before the championship race. So that's two more potential race winners to lock themselves in, and then a fourth to do it on points if we get different winners every time. And the next opportunity for a driver to lock themselves into the championship race will be at Bristol on Tuesday, September 14th. So we shall bring you that on our next show in a couple of weeks.
There we go. And the final bit of esports news is quite a big one.
Yes.
Yes. Le Mans Virtual is returning, and it's biggerer.
Don't mispronounce that.
Really?
Anyway.
Le Grand Series de la...
Brilliant.
Le Mans thing.
We at the Simcast would like to apologise to the entire nation of France.
Why?
Anyway, what is it with us in France? Move on. Talk about Le Mans.
Yes. Five-round virtual endurance series will take place from September to January, with the final round being the 24 hours of Le Mans, taking place at the Autosport International Motorsport Show on the 15th and 16th of January. The first round, 4 hours of Monza, will take place on September 25th, before the series then heads to Spa, the Nürburgring, and Sebring. So Spa will be on the 16th of October, Nürburgring the 13th of November, 6 hours of Sebring on the 18th of December. Entrants from 38 LMP and GTE teams will be competing for a share of 250,000, I'm guessing euro, prize pool, with teams once again comprising of real and virtual drivers. Cool. I think,
yeah, that is cool. I think the thing, I know behind the scenes we've had a little bit of criticism toward Le Mans Virtual for a number of things, but
my eyes did roll to the point where they started making creaking noises. But yeah,
but I think the thing that they've got to be commended for, and I think even you will agree, is the fact that they are continuing to involve virtual drivers who have been occupying the space longer than any of the real racing teams and championships have been.
Yes.
A lot of the championships that gained a lot of accolades and notoriety during the last year have been focused around the real drivers entering the esports world.
Yes.
And there have been a lot of people in the esports world who have felt put out that these people have basically come onto our turf and are getting all of the accolades from it.
British GT Esports, unfortunately.
Yeah, because that was really sad to see that there was very, very limited. I think it was 12 seats open to esports drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's pitiful, to be honest. So I think one of the best things that came out of Le Mans Virtual last year was seeing the real drivers working with the esports pros. And a lot of drivers, who was it we were talking to in an interview last year? Was it Pittard?
Almost certainly.
And he was talking about how usually they take the leadership role when it comes to working with their teammates. Mm. But whereas in this instance, when they were racing alongside the esports guys, they were having to learn off of them, and they quite enjoyed that dynamic. So I think it's good to see. And all credit to Le Mans Virtual, that they could quite easily fill the 38 teams with real racing drivers. I'm sure they could easily do that. But they're not, and they are allowing the virtual drivers to be showcased to a wider audience. I think that's commendable.
I wonder if Glickenhaus will take part.
Do you know what? Somehow I don't think they will.
Well, we wouldn't
and
know,
if they
well,
do, I think it will be quite a large contradiction.
Well, and also we wouldn't know about it because we've both been blocked.
No, true. Yeah, we won't hear anything about it. And I think the other cool thing about this is the fact that the finale will be Le Mans,
yes.
And the fact that it's taking place at Autosport.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a really cool idea.
I feel sorry for the people. The poor people are going to have to keep the place open for 24 hours straight just to let them carry on competing.
They'll be in a shed off the side, won't they? Anyone fed the esports competitors? Nah.
No. They're fine. Just open the door. Yeah, they're fine.
We've given them Mountain Dew.
There's a big fight breaking out and cans of Red Bull and stuff like that strewn about the floor. Yeah, they're okay, they're fine.
What I would really like, though, is if they go full LAN party and duct tape someone to the ceiling so that they all have room to be in there.
Oh, God. Too much. Anyway, so very exciting. More details on that as we get them, because I think they're all the how to participate and all that is going to be coming in the not-too-distant future. That is Le Show. For this week, obviously Team US will be back once again with you next week. No doubt there will be some WRC10 talk. If they don't believe you, me, I will. And that was that. Jordan has been his usual eloquent self. I have been also here. Have a lovely week, everybody. See you soon. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.